Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome back to the Des Bishop Podcast. My apologies for the delay. I had a lot of things going on, including coming back to Ireland. I'm writing a new series for RT. It comes out in December. Trump thing, which myself and my guest, Aidan Bishop, who is my brother, who we'll discuss in a minute, also distracted me because I ended up doing a lot of radio and doing Kilconomics. And anyway, I don't want to come up with too many excuses, but needless to say, I was super busy. And also, the week leading up to leaving New York, I was gigging so much, so late at night, that I didn't get it together. So I really apologize. And here we are. We're back. And we're about to have a chat with my brother, Aidan Bishop. This is the second attempt. The first attempt had some technical difficulties, as well as some other difficulties, which we also discuss. And I've nothing else to say. I won't talk about Trump because myself and Aidan talk about it, although I'm sure you're sick of hearing about it. It is Tuesday morning. I am in Rialto, in Dublin 8, the wonderful city of Dublin, with a semi-blue sky looking through my skylight the morning after the supermoon. And a new day is dawning, as it is in the world. Yet we don't know what that day is going to bring yet. We hope for this gentle blue sky that we have now, but we just don't know. Anyway, without further ado, my guest is Aidan Bishop. Does he need an introduction? I guess he does. He is a comedian. Started doing comedy in and around 2002. He moved to Ireland in 2003, and he now runs the International Comedy Club, the home of Irish comedy, every Thursday to Sunday. And he is also, we talk mostly here about his dyslexia, which was diagnosed very late in his life. And he has a very interesting story to tell about living his life undiagnosed dyslexic and all the pain that comes with that. So, Aidan Bishop, ladies and gentlemen. Here we are. I'm chatting to Aidan Bishop, my brother, in our house in Rialto in Dublin.
Yeah, a lovely clean house.
Yes, there may be a hint of sarcasm on Aidan's voice there.
Yeah,
it's definitely a bachelor pad. We do live with a Chinese couple.
Yeah, we do. Yeah,
but they are breaking up at the moment, so that's a little awkward.
Well, it's just the two of us in the house right now. So it's
right now it's just the two of us, but we do. It is a weird situation we're in at the moment, don't you think?
It is. Well, he's gone. He moved out.
Oh, he moved out?
He moved out. Yeah.
When did that happen?
Yesterday. No dilly dally with the Chinese man, you know? They only broke up like a week ago and he's already out.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah, when is she coming back?
She should be back. She might actually be walking in while we're doing this podcast.
Oh, right. Yeah. So that was weird. Yeah.
They're quiet, though, man. It's great. They're quiet, the Chinese man.
They're great. They're great tenants. Well, anyway, this is actually the second attempt at myself and Aidan doing a podcast. The first time we were in New York, and I wanted to put up the bit about dyslexia, and then there was just major technical difficulties, and then I just luckily happened to bump into Godfrey at the Comedy Cellar.
Yes.
So this is our second attempt. So we have to pretend that we haven't talked about any of these things before.
No, but I've done some more research on it since then. So
on dyslexia?
Yeah, we did some more.
Well, let's talk about that in a minute. Before we talk about dyslexia, which is what I want to talk to you about. By the way, the reason why I want to talk to you about dyslexia on the podcast is because it's first of all, it's a thing about your life that I didn't know because you didn't know. And also, it's the thing that, like if I asked you what your childhood's like, you know, I know that already.
I know, exactly.
Talk to a lot of people like, you know, I know everything about you. I know about your comedy career. I know the whole thing. So it's kind of weird if I ask you those questions because I have to pretend not to know. Whereas with the dyslexia stuff, it's interesting. And even though we did talk about it before, you know, I don't 100% remember. Plus, I do find the whole thing pretty fascinating. And I think a lot of people will find it fascinating because there are a lot of dyslexic people out there. And there maybe a lot of people that were in your situation that didn't know themselves like you.
Yeah, well, adults. Yeah, but I mean, the reason why I went and got tested was because of you, though.
I know. Well, just hold the thought for one second. All right. Because I figure two Americans living abroad 6 days after the election of Donald Trump.
Okay.
Maybe we should talk about that a little
bit.
Yeah,
I know.
How are you feeling?
Well, I was shocked. I literally woke up in the middle of the night, checked my phone, and I couldn't believe it. And I couldn't fall back asleep.
Me too. I was the exact same.
4 o'clock in the morning. I couldn't. I was somewhere. Doesn't matter where I was.
That's right. You weren't here. No. I was watching CNN here. Yeah, exactly. And you were not here. So what happened? So you were...
I was in Dublin, Dublin 12.
So Aiden was in Dublin 12, staying in somebody else's house.
Female.
Yeah,
I know.
But Aiden, What did you do? Did you go to like her sitting room or what?
No. I had it on my phone. I was just like
lying in bed watching the results.
I downloaded the CNN app and it was just streaming it live. There were so many people just streaming it live for free. So I just watched it from my phone, and I couldn't fall asleep. I couldn't believe that. First of all, he got Florida, which was unbelievable.
Yeah,
and Pennsylvania. I mean,
well, Pennsylvania, I couldn't believe when that started going. I was like, no way. Anyway, that's been well covered.
I know.
Now it's been 6 days. How are you feeling?
Well, I'm extremely disappointed. However, it doesn't affect my life that much, but it just...
That was our joke. It's like, we're white men. It doesn't affect... We're fine.
I know.
Us white guys.
Hey, listen, man. If you're a millionaire, it's great.
Yeah.
The tax break for millionaires, you know. But for me, it doesn't really affect me. But it does a little bit because I'm disappointed.
That was Obama. Dave Chappelle. Dave Chappelle was joking.
I know.
Wait a minute, motherfucker. I just got my money.
But I said the same joke. I'm not, because I saw that bit, but I thought the same thing. I was like, I'm not rich, so it doesn't really affect me that much.
But, oh, right. I know what you mean.
But for rich people.
Yeah, but you're also not like a black woman.
No, exactly.
So the negative
man.
Side.
And I'm not living in America.
The upside doesn't affect you, and the downside doesn't affect you.
Yeah, but. Well, first of all, Obama did a good enough job. He made a lot of progress, and I feel like America's taking two steps back now.
I know.
But you forget what America's like. You know, that we forgot that America is angry and a little bit racist at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And this just proves that.
I mean, I was at Kilconomics, so I had a very... I moderated a very long discussion about Trump and the future, and... I mean, the majority of the discussion was, yes, it's completely understandable how this happened. There was also obviously like a lot of criticism of the stupidity of people not to have seen it coming. Most people feel like he's not going to be as bad as he seemed, but it still doesn't change the fact that it's worrying, particularly about the Supreme Court.
Yes, it is worrying, yeah.
And he even said yesterday on 60 Minutes that it's going to be up to the states and people, if... They want, some people are going to have to leave their home state to go for an abortion, which I thought is hilarious because that's the Irish solution.
I know. I can't
believe. You know, if you're Christian and you're against abortion, you live in a state where you can pretend that shit you aren't comfortable with, you can pretend it's not happening, which is what happens in Ireland.
I know. It's unbelievable. I can't believe people are still holding on to those ideals. But what are you going to do, man?
What are you going to do? I mean, now Trump is in and...
I reflect on the Democrats and how... They just underestimated. They really thought they were making all this progress, and they were talking in a way that wasn't adhering to this section of America. In a way, like, for example, after some of these like Islamic attacks in America, these small attacks saying it's ISIS, they were going around, everybody, no Islamophobia, okay, everybody, don't, you know, like they should have talked a little bit more harsher.
I guess I know, but what they're trying to do is trying to keep people from getting too angry.
It's
right?
It just adheres to this kind of that liberals are weak. Liberals are weak. So when you start
But the thing is that this is just a trend. This is just a thing that has become pervasive across all Western democracies at the moment. People disagree, but I still think this is the byproduct of the recession. I think this is the tail end of people's anger about the recession and the unequal recovery.
Of course,
and,
yeah.
Yeah. So this atmosphere, I don't think it's going to last. So what? Do you temporarily tap into it to get elected? Like, I think a lot of those people who said, let's not be Islamophobic, let's not say that all Muslims are bad, I think those people are right. Now, I know people say, well, the Democrats played it too soft, but I mean, I think the Democrats fucked up in the sense that they have become too much of a center-right party and they've moved away from their base.
Yeah.
And I guess, and I was wrong about this, I really thought Hillary would do better against Trump than Bernie. But now, you know, because I thought that Bernie's message was too simple, actually. I thought Bernie's message was too simple and that in the end, people would go, no, that's too simple. But now when I see that they vote for fucking Trump,
yeah, exactly.
On an even simpler, stupider message,
oh, God,
I think maybe Bernie should have been there. Maybe the young people would have came out and forced for Bernie and we wouldn't have a Trump presidency. And I was wrong about that.
It would have been a closer, and Hillary just unfortunately wasn't a great candidate, but...
I know,
yeah,
I mean,
America's
right,
because Bernie opposed everything that's gone wrong. That everything that Trump was saying, Bernie opposed. He opposed the North American Free Trade Agreement.
You're saying that him and all the things that people liked about Trump, Bernie was also saying.
Yeah, but Bernie has proof that he was opposing everything. Yeah. Throughout all his time in the House or Senate, wherever he's opposed everything. He opposed NAFTA. He was for gay marriage before anybody was. So everything that he had it, like he was against the Iraq war. He went out, fought against the Iraq war. And he literally, Trump was like, you know, he's an outsider. You see, an outsider got into it. He could say all these things. Yeah. He was an outsider.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I was, after Sarah Silverman posted that video, I mean, I was confused. Like, because the funny thing is, Bernie represented all my political views going back a long time. But I have to say, I always liked Hillary Clinton, you know? I thought she was like a pragmatic, strong woman, and I liked her. I even liked her originally when she was running against Obama. I was conflicted, and I'm not afraid to admit that now. I don't think there's a lot of people that aren't very honest about where
they're at. I always thought that Hillary would have been a better,
So,
we both said Hillary would have been a better president.
When Hillary was running against Bernie, Bernie kind of represented more of, like, particularly over the last 20 years, like, my political beliefs. But I don't know. I had this weird soft spot for Hillary Clinton, but... particularly after Sarah Silverman's video, which is silly to say that was one of the things that started to sway me. After that video, I really started to think, Jesus, you know, maybe there's more sense to Bernie than I thought originally. In other words, I thought maybe Bernie would actually be good for the economy. But I always thought that he would hit a Republican wall that he would never be able to get over. And then the thing that made me not completely go over to Bernie was every time I heard him speak, he said the exact same thing, almost word for word. And I thought, I literally thought his message was too limited and that perhaps he wouldn't have the, you know, he wouldn't have the political skill to deal with the dirty side. And in fairness, he showed like a lack of political skill when he didn't go after Hillary on the emails. Anyway, long story short, I was wrong.
He would have been a great candidate. There was a great video of him going against Alan Greenspan. That was absolutely brilliant. He's ripping on Alan Greenspan.
Oh, back before the recession?
Yeah, this is before the recession. Like, he had all that proof. And the thing about it is that, you know, Obama got a lot of the white vote in the last, you know, 2014 election. And he got a lot of the, you know, the housewives vote. That's what Obama got. And I think that Bernie Sanders would have got those votes, too.
Yeah, well...
And it's amazing that Trump got a lot of those votes.
He got
surprised how much of the women vote that Trump got. That's one thing I'm most surprised about.
Yeah.
But that's a whole nother topic.
Well, I'm not that surprised because Mom hated Hillary.
Yeah.
And she loves Bill. And I think that's insane. You know, she talks about Hillary.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that Mom was like secretly supporting Trump. I couldn't believe that.
I don't think she was secretly supporting
Trump.
She's
probably voted for Hillary, though. I'm sure she did.
Yeah, I don't think she was secretly supporting Trump. But what I felt was that she preferred Trump to Hillary. But she wasn't going to vote for Trump because she thought he was too much of a pig. But I think that he could have got Mom if the grab him by the pussy stuff hadn't happened. I think he would have got Mom at the end.
Yeah.
She hated Hillary. But that Mom's hatred of Hillary just to me doesn't make any sense because she loves Bill. And Bill is Bill Clinton to me was, you know, a very charismatic politician. But if you're saying that Hillary's horrible, then how is Bill not horrible? Just because he's a more likable guy?
No.
Crazy.
Man.
Anyway, it's over now.
The saddest thing is, though, it would have been great to have a woman president, man. It really would have been great, and now it's not happening, you know?
I know.
And that was some speech he
gave
there. But
the positive, what I think is positive is, I don't think Trump is going to change anything, actually.
I think, yeah.
But I think what's become clear is people have had enough of corporate influence in politics. And that can't be a bad thing. I don't think in America the political will exists to actually change anything. But I think people have shown that they've had enough. Now, I have to be honest, I was willing to put that to the side.
No, but Trump's going to rewrite the tax code. He's able to do that, and he's going to appoint, you know, more conservative judges in the Supreme Court.
But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the things that people said they were sick of. They said they were sick of the establishment. They wanted the swamp drained. You know, they want the end of corporate influence in politics. I don't think he's changing any of that. He's certainly not draining the swamp because he's got a load of fucking alligators and snakes surrounding him right now, and they all live in the swamp. You know, Trump is just fucking putting on his alligator skin right now to live in a swamp. He's not fucking draining it. Not a chance. He's not draining the
fucking. What are you going to do? I'm not paying attention to politics anymore. That's it.
Well, I am a little, I feel a little overexposed to politics.
Yeah.
Here's what I hope might happen. This is my hope. I hope that Trump does decide to spend a lot on infrastructure, regardless of the deficit. I think Obama wanted to do that, and he was blocked at every turn.
But, you know, Trump's policy on infrastructure is not great. The best thing about that is he wants to privatize infrastructure spending so that companies will forward the money and hire construction workers to build the – so the tax rate's going to be low on these companies coming in to do the infrastructure. It's like really low. The government's not even going to tax them.
Yeah, they're going to get a tax incentive to do the infrastructure. Yeah,
and then they're going to tax the workers. But the problem is – that unemployment for construction workers is at 4%.
Yes, very low. No workers.
There's actually no workers. Construction workers, there's actually work in America. Yeah. So like that policy is not going to work. It has to be government spending in order for infrastructure. So we'll have to see. I mean, who knows what's going to happen.
Well, anyway, I hope that the infrastructure spending happens. Obama wanted to spend more money on infrastructure. They blocked him at every turn.
Exactly. And Obama wanted to raise the minimum wage. They blocked him.
Yeah, they blocked him at every turn. But now, so my concern is that if Trump does that, which I think will be good for America,
exactly,
he's going to get all the bloody credit. And then we'll have 8 years.
You know they're going to do that too.
8 years.
If I was a Republican, I'd do that.
We're going to have 8 years.
Smartest thing to do right there is just.
I personally think that fears about trade are a little unfounded. I'm very curious about this move against globalization.
I know.
Because really, the only victims of globalization are a section of society that once held a better position in society.
Yeah.
Now, I don't feel, I feel that they are absolutely right to be aggrieved.
Yeah, because they were forgotten about.
I understand why they're angry. I completely understand that. However, I think it would be a pity to completely reject the globalization project, which is essentially to make the world a more equal place. It would be terrible to completely reject that based on the grievances of people that live in states that turn the American election red or blue.
Exactly.
But I do think that reform and ways to create jobs for these people is important. But I also think that they are dismissing automation and other things that have caused those traditional jobs to disappear, you know. And I also think that long term, you know, I think this is a transition period, but I think long term the world reorganizes itself. So I think that perhaps people will migrate, you know, like I do think there will be great migrations away from these places, but I do understand the complexity of that also.
No, I know. Well,
as you move closer to where the jobs are, the cost of living rises exponentially. So I get it. It's a conundrum, but I don't think Trump is going to be the guy that fixes the conundrum. He got elected pretending to
be
the
guy. I'll be honest. It's not going to be till sea level rises. That's what I think.
You think that climate change rising is going to be the thing that makes people realize?
Yeah, and then they're
going to
get these factories going again, producing solar panels and alternative energy.
You think that's the next? I think the world.
That's the world. Yeah, the next industrial. We all need to come together.
Just do me one favor.
Yeah,
Not swing the mic back.
Sorry.
Because if we end up with another bloody podcast,
how's it looking? Is it working in there?
No, it looks fine. But you're waving the mic.
Oh, sorry, I won't wave the mic.
Face.
I just think that the world needs to come together and get off fossil fuels. There's a lot of good talk about this, but that's a whole nother thing. But I don't think anything's going to change until we all come together. And I mean, that's the future, finding something to produce again.
You think that we need like a new industrial revolution?
Oh, if you want, producing.
But we're doing that.
No,
we're producing
loads of new
technology. Yeah. You know, I mean, there's been technological revolution. Anyway, whatever. We won't get into that. Let's talk about the main topic that I want to talk about, which is the great discovery that you had when you discovered that
Yeah,
you
were
dyslexic because you lived your whole life undiagnosed dyslexic.
Well, I could tell you. I mean, you know, because of you, obviously, you were sitting in the getting your hair cut, and you heard the woman talk on the radio about their dyslexic son, and this was 2008.
No, it's 2007. Oh no, you're right. 2008, and it's all because of the Irish language.
I mean, I could tell you.
You owe the Irish language.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah, because I was getting my hair cut. The woman said she didn't hear somebody on the radio. She said, "Oh, I saw your Irish program. My daughter doesn't have to do Irish because she's dyslexic." And then she told me how she discovered her daughter.
So was your hair, that girl cutting your hair told you?
Yeah, she said, how I discovered that my daughter was dyslexic was I went to a talk about dyslexia, and the mother was talking about her relationship with her daughter. So this is the woman that she was watching. And that woman said, "Oh, I used to tear my hair out doing the homework, and I would be shouting at her going like, why can't you figure this out?"
I know.
And then I was like, wow, that's the way Aiden was with mom. Yeah. You know, that's the way mom was with you.
Yes.
So that's when I said to you, I think you should get a test for dyslexia.
I know.
But you had suspicions, though.
Well, I a little bit, I guess. I don't know. But not as much as I never researched as much as I would like to until you told me. And then I started researching and I was like, wow. I was like,
no, but I know it was not the first time that we talked about it. I know. I didn't just come to you and say, did you ever get tested for dyslexia?
Maybe I used to joke and say I'm dyslexic, but I didn't know much about it. But I was like, I didn't really know the whole science behind it. But I was like, oh, yeah, maybe I am dyslexic.
Well, of course you didn't know the science. I mean, you didn't know. But anyway, man. You went for the test.
Well, yeah, I mean, we'll start from there. Yeah. I went for the test and I found out and like, It was in Dorky, so that's...
Oh, you went to the test in Dorky?
I went to Dorky, so I liked it. I was living it up a bit, you know?
Yeah, they have the test in Dorky to remind you where you could have been if you'd been diagnosed with dyslexia young.
Exactly. It's a long wait to get tested. Like, it's hard, you know? There's not that many education schools. You got to wait. So like a few months before I was able to do it, but I went and did it. And anyways, I took the test.
What do you mean?
It takes a little while. It takes a few months. Like, there's like long waiting lists and stuff to get tested, apparently. That's what
really?
I remember. Yeah, I remember just putting in an appointment. It took a while.
Okay.
Anyways, it's besides the point. Unnecessary point. Sorry.
Hey, just keep talking, will you, for fuck's sake?
I'm joking. So I went and got tested, and then you wait, you know, you do the test. It's like 3 hours long, and then you wait in the waiting room, and then she calls you back in. So you have to sit in the waiting room for like 45 minutes. She's grading you or whatever, and she comes back in, and then she told me yes, you are dyslexic. I tested positive for dyslexia, which is my joke. But man, I tell you, man, what a feeling, you know, to be honest, like, you know, because dyslexia, man, unfortunately, there's a lot of deep levels to dyslexia when you're a kid and
no, but what was the feeling at that moment?
I tell you, it was unbelievable. Like the biggest feeling was shame being lifted off my shoulder. That is the biggest thing, you know, the shame that was associated with being dyslexic. And the mistakes you make growing up in school, not doing good in school, sitting in the back of the class, all that stuff. And then finding out was like a weight lifted off my shoulder. But unfortunately, shame is a thing a lot of dyslexics struggle with, which is why there's so many dyslexics in prison. Because, you know, you're in school. It's a very important thing for your self-esteem. And
yeah,
you're
let's go back then. Rather than, you know, talking about that, let's go back and...
So it's really much the biggest problem started when I actually started to read. That's when things really started to struggle. I mean, I did, unfortunately, maybe struggle with words sometimes as a kid. I do remember mixing up a few sounds because that's a part of the problem of dyslexia is the sounds of words. You know, so it's a phonological problem as much as it's a reading problem.
Yeah, so you think that some of the things we used to make fun of you of when you were a kid were actually symptoms of dyslexia.
Yeah,
like
Berber
when you
King.
Used to say Berber King,
yes.
And Jophus.
Jophus, yeah.
You used to call Joseph Lane Jophus.
That's right, yeah, Jophus. Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, oh, so you think that was part of it, huh?
I do
think
a little bit.
Of course, we were
making
fun of you, making it worse.
Yeah, but I did pick up language okay, so it was fine. You know, but a little bit, those little... Yeah,
no, but dyslexia isn't a problem with picking up language, right? Like
a little bit, a slimy bit, you know, you a little bit. You know, but yeah, but when you start reading is when you really see the problem. Like in first grade, because we didn't even like Catholic school. You didn't even like nowadays kids are reading in kindergarten, but we did not start reading until
Sister Grace Ann did not make us read.
No, definitely
what the hell
not.
Did we do in kindergarten?
I know. I just
tie
remember tying
shoes
my shoes. Yeah, that was it.
Yeah, I remember learning how to tie my shoes.
And it was great
because
half a
there was
day.
Two methods.
There was
two
more.
Tying shoes methods, and we just the Bishop family used one method. Anyway, so you went to Sister Electa.
Yeah, I went
first.
So I started reading, and then I just remember, oh my God, It was so difficult. I remember so well, and then I remember, it almost feels like your brain's locking up. You know, I just couldn't comprehend what I was reading, and I was struggling. And then, you know, it was all becoming aware. Mom was finding out, and
How was Sister Electa's reaction to your reading struggles?
Well, first of all, Sister Electa was nice to me, man. I mean, she was really good about it. And then I used to have to go in first grade when we used to go to Mass. You don't remember this for an hour, but I used to not go to Mass with you guys and go to the rectory and do extra reading with Sister Electa.
Oh, really? She used to do it with you?
Yeah, I used to sit down one-on-one with Sister Electa, and she used to help me. And I remember the books I was reading, and I actually remember, I still visualize it, like the struggles and sitting there going, you know, trying to read.
Sound it out and everything.
Sound it out. Oh, my God, I know. And the stress of that. Oh, my God. And then reading aloud in class. I mean, God, and then making mistakes and
yeah. So what? Reading aloud in class.
Reading aloud, and then I remember in second or third grade going to see whoever the guidance counselor at the time. It was Miss Sokol. Is that Sokol? Was it?
Yeah, Mrs. Sokol.
She gave me some sort of test, and then they were like, "Oh, he's not retarded." I think they were testing like the people thought I was slow. That's the thing. Like you think.
Oh yeah, So you get diagnosed as like he's got like a learning disorder.
Yeah, well, they were saying, but it's not like, yeah, you're not slow. That was like, there was like, when you're not doing reading well in school, they actually thought you might be like mentally slow.
Yeah.
So there was that fear like, oh my God, Aiden might be a little bit retarded. I don't mean to use that word, but.
But back then, that's the word that they were using.
Yeah, that was it. They were actually testing like, it might be slightly retarded rather than testing for
your
dyslexia. They didn't bring dyslexia up at all. Like, I
don't understand how
that. I don't understand how that wasn't brought up at all. You know,
So what's that like when the horror, because a lot of dyslexics talk about the horror of reading in class.
Yeah, well, reading aloud in class was, you know, very difficult. So what happens is, you know, I like a lot of dyslexics probably do this. You actually count the paragraphs. So I knew I was a 12th guy, and then I'd be counting the paragraphs, and I would like, oh man, the 12th paragraph. You know, so I read that thing over and over. I wouldn't even listen to what people are saying. I mean, make sure I don't make any mistakes. And of course, there's always the good reader who reads two or three paragraphs, and then I'd be fucked. And then you're reading, you know, you're like then you try to predict the word. So you're like multi-celled orgasms instead of like organisms. These are the type of thing. And then, you know, you get like people laugh. And like the shame of that is just unreal.
But that would have been later anyway. You would have had multi-celled organisms.
No, third grade.
Third grade, you were reading multi-celled organisms?
Yeah, we would start in biology in third
grade. Yeah.
But I'm just saying like.
So how did you feel about the good reader guy?
Oh, it was always, I know, it was like, fucking, these are put the best readers in the front of the class and work your way down. So I was always in the back of the class.
Yeah.
Like once the first report call came, that was it. I was always at the start as Aiden, at the top of the class, because Aiden Bishop, they used to do alphabetical order. So that would be like the first or two.
One or two.
And then by the time the first report call came, I was down in the back.
Really?
Yeah, because they used to put the best people.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, they used to grit. Who did you have, Miss Sullivan?
I don't know. One of the teachers, man. Maybe. I don't remember. I just remember one of the time I had, like, always in the back
in
of the class.
In the back.
Yeah.
So what's that? How do you feel when it's coming to you with the reading?
Well, I mean.
Now, how is the bot like?
Well,
like, how do you feel
just,
in your body?
Sweating, the nervousness, the shame of it. And, you know, and then, you know, tests, you know, and then doing bad in tests and. Going home to mom. Mom would like, there was a time when mom was like really active in our schooling and she'd be working with me. And man, she used to get so stressed out.
Oh,
dude.
I remember that.
She used to get super. So it was
your
like
homework was.
When I was a kid, man, school was stress. Going home was a stress.
Yeah, I know. I mean, that was hard. Your homework was a nightmare.
Oh, man, I remember. What's this word? Aiden, what's this word? Smoking a cigarette, like literally having
a
nervous
break. What are we going to do
with
this
I know.
Kid?
Because that's the problem. It's like parents, you know, they want to see their kids do in school because then there's this fear that you're not going to succeed in life if you're not doing good in school. So there was this massive fear and shame. And then I was like going to reading things on Saturday, but no one diagnosed me dyslexic. It was really strange, you know.
I know. I don't understand how they couldn't see it.
Yeah, I know. But I tell you one thing, another problem with, you know, dyslexia is, you know, there's other things that come up with dyslexia, you know, like... I'm terrible with directions. Always been really bad with direction. That's one thing.
No,
I know,
but like just before we move off of that stuff. So like, do you not worry that you ended up with like anxiety disorder from so much stress of going to school for so long?
Yeah, I do. I think, and I'm realizing it more now since we started talking about the last time I'd done before the other podcast we did that Denver went out. I was doing more research on it, man.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and the more I was like, holy shit, you know.
You have
more
like
I
post-traumatic stress disorder.
I was like, yeah, man, you know. I was like, that's why, yeah, I know. I was like reading it going, damn, you know. And that's why the more research I do, you see how so many dyslexics end up in prison, you know, because, you know, first of all, you're put in the back of the class. You're told you're no good. You're told you're lazy. You're told you're not working hard enough.
Yeah,
and then a lot of kids just go, fuck it. That's it. I'm lazy. I'm bad. And then they turn bad. But then another thing they talk about dyslexia is
hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
High rate of entrepreneurship with dyslexia,
right?
You know, because I guess they're trying to say.
Well, that I guess because ideas is it something to do with the wiring of the brain?
Well, they try. Yeah, that's what science says, is that dyslexics just think differently. It's not a bad thing. It's that people learn differently.
Yeah,
and they're trying to say this, but I also think it's because you're forced to be on your own. You got to do something on your own, so you're forced to kind of like, you're not going to go to school and connect with people and do it that way. You're forced on your own. How to grow and learn.
Yeah, and I guess
you get self-sufficient.
I guess also there's it's more satisfying to come up with ideas than to learn, because to learn you have to read, whereas you come up with ideas, you're just coming up with ideas in your head. There's no deficiency, or you're on an equal footing if you're just trying to come up with ideas. Whereas if you're reading, you have to deal with this fact that you're wired differently.
Yeah,
possibly.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Well, anyways, like, you know, that's why. So many, you know, they're always bringing up, anyways, we'll talk about that nearly at the end, but they're always bringing up successful people who are dyslexic, you know.
Einstein be surprised. Was dyslexic.
Man,
Tom Cruise is dyslexic.
Richard Branson is dyslexic.
Oh, Richard Branson is dyslexic.
And even Steven Spielberg is dyslexic talking. I was watching a video on him talking about it. But
oh, really?
That generation all talk about how hard it was in school and the shame associated with being dyslexic and, you know, the self-esteem issues you get. So throughout my whole school, it was always like extra reading at the school. You know, sometimes, because when you were older than me, sometimes your friends used to come back from high school, from like you were a freshman in prep.
Yeah.
So some of the girls from your class were coming to help me read.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because they were still connected to St. Kevin's, because they were in prep and they would come back. And I loved it. I mean, I loved meeting the high school girls.
Hanging out with the older
girls. Yeah, of course, man. I just remember thinking, wow, they're so developed.
And then, so you went through your entire education, literally.
Yeah, and I had that mindset of like, you're lazy. I had that mindset, you know. And then what happens is, you know, you get old and you keep making these mistakes. You know, you're still making these dyslexic mistakes, and you're like, man, I really felt like I was an idiot. I really felt I wasn't smart. Like, I really felt I was dumb up until I took that test.
I was 27. Thought fundamentally you're dumb. You've been getting away with it.
I really thought I was stupid.
Like, now, you have a degree from St. John's University. Yeah. So how the fuck did you manage that?
Well, that was because I majored in something I knew I could pass in. I majored in history.
So why did you know you could pass that?
Well, because you could take the work home with you. So I was able to, like, you know, it's a lot of papers, writing papers. Even I wasn't great at writing. I was terrible at getting thoughts to paper. I don't know how I passed. It really is a joke, that school. I don't know how I passed. Man, there was only one professor who actually graded me properly. He's like, there was one guy, I liked him. I was actually Irish abroad class. It was like one of the classes, the Irish abroad. So I studied like Irish in America for years. And he's like, this doesn't make any sense. He was telling me, this doesn't make any sense. It's not me. Other teachers just was like, yeah, C, C, C.
Oh, yeah. They were.
But
just...
this guy was actually failing me. He's like, bro, this doesn't make, you're not getting thoughts. This doesn't make any sense. And I'd be like, oh, my God, I'll be in college. You know, oh, my God, freaking out. But anyways, I couldn't get into college. Because my grades are so bad. So I graduated high school, the bottom of my class.
Oh, you did?
Yes, graduated high school. I got an 880 on my SATs. And I graduated.
But it's not terrible. 880 is not terrible.
No, it's not terrible, but.
You were still the two, right?
Yeah,
you were still 1600?
Yeah, like, yeah, here I am. It's Holy Cross, which is not, Holy Cross High School in New York City is not an academic school at all. you know, and it's very easy to get good grades in that school, and I still graduated at the bottom of the class.
Yeah.
I was the bottom third of that class, and then I couldn't get into St. John's, so I had to go the first semester non-matriculated. So you take all the core classes.
Because mom was working there, so it was free.
Yeah, it was free. But not my first year, it wasn't free. So that.
But your non-matriculated classes, were you able to get into that because mom was working there, or you could have just applied anyway?
No, I had to go to summer school, actually. Finally went to summer school for the first time in my life. I never. So I had to, me and all the other dyslexic kids, I don't know what they were like, trying to figure out what's wrong. They still never mentioned dyslexia. And I still failed math. So if I passed math, I would have got in. But I failed, so I had to do it all over again the first semester.
Non-matriculated in St. John's.
Yeah.
Right. So then anyway, we don't need to go to that, but you did get a degree.
Yeah, I got a degree,
You graduated from St. John's.
One of the reasons was I was able to cheat, too. You know, you could, because like what I did was in St. John's is sometimes you'd have to do the essays in the class. So there was three colored booklets. There was pink, green, and blue. So sometimes they give you the questions. These are the four or five questions. I'm going to ask you two or something like that. So I literally would write every possible scenario on all different paper, on different color paper, different colored sheets, and then go into class, and it's the yellow one, and then I pull out the yellow one that I pre-wrote at home and just swap it.
But how did you have the pads?
I kept every class. I always asked for a few extra.
Ah, slick.
Slick, yeah.
That's the entrepreneurial side of your dyslexic brain.
You see? But yeah,
that's the Trump
side.
One
thing I will have to say is though, man, I was always able to make people laugh in class. That's the honest truth. I was always very funny, and that always kept me going, man. That always kept me going through school. Just realizing that when I'm in a group of people, I could make people laugh. You know, I used to get my professors laugh, and my whole life I was able to get.
Yeah. So laugh. Yeah, but do you think the two are connected? No.
No, not at all. No, I just like to make people.
It kept
laugh.
You sane though.
Yeah, I get. I guess I kind of just, it did a little bit because you're in the back. You like to joke around a bit because it gives you self-esteem in class when you can make people laugh. So that's where a lot of like me joking around in class comes from.
Yeah. So then.
Yeah, so I graduated St. John's. Whatever, man. I graduated, C average, basically.
Yeah, but you got your degree.
I got a degree in history, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, don't worry. We're not doing your life story. We're not going to talk about the fact that you already started doing stand-up.
No, I know. I don't care about that.
We can talk about that in a minute, but I just want to stay on this for a sec. So fast forward, you're now in Ireland. You're living in Ireland. You're a comedian. You're gigging on the regular. And your fucking annoying, busybody brother comes to you and says, I think you should be tested for dyslexia.
Yeah.
And then you discover you're dyslexic.
Most profound moment of my life, like 100%. Most profound realization of my whole entire life. Like unbelievable. Life-changing, like... No word of a lie. And it was just, this wave of like ease and peace comes over you because you just know, like, you know what's wrong. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because how old were you?
27.
You were 27 years old.
28, yeah.
28 when you discovered you were dyslexic. And for 24 of those years, or certainly 23 of them, you were dealing with the problems of dyslexia.
Yeah.
Like, really, you were dealing with the stress of having it. So That's a lot of suffering.
Well, like dyslexic, you read a paragraph, you're like, what the fuck? What did I just read? I have no idea what
I know.
Read.
So then you discovered it. What did you discover? Like in terms of like...
Well, I discovered the most important thing is how to acquire information. Dyslexia is like a different way of acquiring information. I can't acquire information the normal way. Like even sitting down, I used to read the paper, but I'd always struggle. You know, like now I don't even bother trying to read the paper. I'd rather read from my phone because... You could highlight. This is great about technologies. I could highlight the whole article on my phone and then hit text speech, right? So I have to use text speech to read, bro. I'll be honest. Like I much prefer to do that than actually trying to read. So you do the text speech on the phone, but you speed it up a bit. It's not like the boy went.
Yeah.
It's like the boy went. And then once I hear something, I retain everything. So it's been like a total, revolutionary thing in my confidence and everything, but just in retaining information off the printed word has been like monumental.
You started getting ebooks, right? You started reading and listening.
Like I got myself a Kindle, reading and listening. The reading and listening, but the key is to, you got to listen to spit. You can't listen to it normal because it's like the boy went to the shop. I wrote all the Game of Thrones books.
Oh, you listen to them and read them. Read them and listen at the same time.
Yeah,
right?
But like, yeah, you could just nowadays on all the e-books, you could just hit the text speech on there, and it's so much better. It used to be more computerized, but now it almost sounds.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it used to be so much more. It's great listen to Game of Thrones because it'd be like it was still very computerized then. So he penetrated her with, you know, in a computer.
He penetrated her.
He penetrated her with his massive sword, whatever. But now, like, they actually have an English accent now, so it's a little bit, like, normal.
Oh, so now it actually sounds a bit Game of Thrones-ish?
Now it sounds Game of Thrones, yeah.
All right.
But, man, you know, I read a lot. I could read more nonfiction now. It's great. I mean, it's not just about reading, though. It's just about everything in general, just about retention. And then also, when you make a mistake, I used to give myself a hard time when you're, like, in your early 20s, mid-20s, and you're like, Jesus Christ, I fucking... You know, it says go right, and you know, it doesn't always happen to me. Sometimes I'd be confused with right and left, or you know, your directions. Like I have to have my Google Maps all the time where I'm walking.
So directions is part of dyslexia?
A little bit, yeah. It's like that is one of the things. Yeah, just not being able to.
And do you find you were left with any sort of? You still sometimes just get a bit nervous because you were so used to being tensed.
Well, I tell you what, the hardest thing is when you're an adult, and then. Because I'm reading more, I'm acquiring new words. Well, you know, I'm not just reading more, but you know, I'm more confident. But when I hear a new word, man, and then it's not in my brain enough, I get it wrong a lot.
So you still get words wrong.
Yeah, sometimes you try to sound smart, and then like, you know, you, like a new word. I know I annoy you with that sometimes when I some of this.
Your asshole brother.
No, I know because you're very good like that. You're very good with words and language, and then I'm like. For one, there was one that used to annoy me. I was like, by an accident, I used to say.
Oh, yeah, by accident.
Yeah, by accident. Or there was a couple other ones. I mean, I think I did one recently with your buddies, but that was like more of a, I can't remember. Sometimes
it doesn't matter.
Yeah, but that's a common thing with dyslexia.
But do you prefer to be corrected or do you prefer to just like not care?
Well, listen, people correct me now, I just got to laugh it off. I really do. I got to laugh. But there was a time when I would do that and I'd be like, oh my God, like, I'm like, Jesus Christ, I'm fucking an idiot. Like,
yeah.
I'm stupid. Like, that used to make me think I was stupid, you know? But at the end of the day, intelligence is intelligence. There's all different types of intelligence. You know, just because you're not the best with words doesn't mean you're not intelligent.
No, of course,
you know?
Of course. So you decided to write a show then?
Yeah, the show was good.
What year was that?
That was 2011, believe it or not.
5 years ago.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
So 5 years ago, you wrote a show called Misspelled.
Misspelled, yeah.
And you took it to the Edinburgh Fringe. And it was about your experience of dyslexia.
Yeah, and I wrote it in 2 or 3 months. I only found out, yeah, it was like I wrote it, and I started writing it in April, and then I was there in August. It was good. Yeah, it was good. I enjoyed that. That was my favorite thing of doing comedy was that show.
Yeah, and what was the main crux of it? Was it more about your personal journey? Was it more about informing people about dyslexia?
It was more geared towards adults. You know, I was trying to gear it more towards adults who may not be tested. So it was like a little bit of my experience. And then I threw some dyslexia jokes in there from my life, you know?
Yeah, sure. Because obviously there's a lot of misconceptions about dyslexia.
Well, yeah, of course. Well, spelling is definitely a problem with dyslexia. And you think, you know, my one joke is a common joke. But my joke is that dyslexia, you know, you think a condition where it's hard to spell, you think they make it an easy word to spell.
Yeah.
Know? It's a hard one. I literally was like, took me a few times to figure out dyslexia. D-Y.
D-Y, right?
It's so messed up. You can't do that to dyslexic people. You know, D-Y. I mean, now I know it's D-Y. Dyslexia. Yeah.
Yeah. And then...
So spell check is not my strong... Sometimes I'd be typing something if I got to write an email and the word is so wrong that you don't even
spell
get...
Spell check can't even
figure it out. But so you get like Russian words come up like, are you speaking Russian?
So the show ended up being like well supported by dyslexia organizations.
Yeah, I was so surprised. Yeah, I didn't realize. Yo, because like 1 in 10 people are dyslexic. It's very common, you know. And there's a lot of the education system. It's such a huge problem in the education system that, you know, it's still a problem. So I was getting teachers from, you know, Teachers Association of England were coming, you know, and it was all this like great support. It was 20% sold out before I even started.
Yeah, because
just on the title
alone.
Yeah,
but it had a good theme, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'm not even known at all. Like no one knows who I am over there.
Yeah.
And just from like reading the thing, just from reading the books or whatever, the promotion books.
The program.
Program, yeah.
Yeah, so what was I going to say? Oh yeah, so do you ever get jealous or sorry, are you ever annoyed that like perhaps had you gone to public school, or certainly had you just been a little later in the education system, you would have been diagnosed dyslexic and you would have been given like study aids, more time in your exams.
When you're younger and you have that, and then, you know, you get that confidence, I think definitely would have helped. Or I could have just got frustrated and said, screw school. You know, I don't know. It's hard to tell.
I know, but like nowadays, somebody in your situation would have had access to a laptop.
Yeah, exactly. A laptop, listening, reading and listening, being able to retain it.
And extra time in exams.
And then getting the test and getting the confidence from doing well in the test would be like a total boost.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Well, of course, you wouldn't be going through your whole education feeling like you're stupid.
Yeah, man, I know. You know?
I mean, that's the biggest thing. I mean, I remember that when you found out that you were dyslexic. Honestly, bro, the truth is that sometimes I thought the same. Sometimes I was like, maybe Aiden is just, you know, like just not all there in his brain.
I know. That's the problem. You see, that's the problem.
And that was my judgment, which of course I was wrong, but like I did have that thought. Like I was relieved when you got diagnosed with dyslexia.
I know, man. You know, that's a problem. Like, you know, I don't think our family knew anything about it. And yeah. I always felt that was like an underlying thing in our family. It was like you guys thought maybe I was a little bit slow, you know, but it worked out great. I mean, I'm delighted. I mean, yeah. So I'm a little.
It could have been better. It could have been better. Do you not have any resentments about it? I mean, it's neglect in a way. I mean, it is neglect.
It is neglect. It is a little bit of neglect.
I guess.
But you know, at the end of the day, you can't. You know, like everybody has something in their life, though, right? You can't. You know, like I could look back. Yes, I am annoyed, but I can't let it affect me now. I mean, you got it. You know. It's on me now to really try to progress and, you know.
Yeah, I guess some people would say, well, fuck him. He's got a great face. So you win some, you lose some.
Exactly. And I always, man, I know. It's like, because at home it was tougher. I think at home it was tougher for me because I was the youngest. And I think it was harder for me to be heard in our house. But when I was outside the house, I was a little bit more confident.
Right.
So like you guys all thought, because I'd be at the dinner table. And like my two older brothers are there, and then like even dyslexia kicks in more. You know, you're nervous.
Because you're nervous.
And yeah, and then you know the words get mixed up, and then you two, what'd you say? What'd you say? And then but when I was out of the house, man, I was super confident. I was like a leader in my age group. I was like I was one of the leaders. I was one of the alpha males of the group. However, I was a nice guy. I would never want anybody to be do anything bad, but yeah. I was definitely a popular kid.
But poor little Aiden, the youngest brother, wasn't able to be the boss of the house.
Yeah, exactly.
With his butter on his pasta because he didn't like eating anything else. Poor little Aiden.
I know.
But man. I don't like
it. No, I don't feel sorry for myself.
I just want pasta and butter.
Yeah, I know. It was weird, man. I had weird eating habits. I don't know.
Yeah,
what
I know.
Fuck
and you eat
wrong.
Everything now, but you were the most finicky
eater.
Yeah,
weird, man. I know.
Butter and pasta.
I was germophobic, too. I used to hate, like, you guys put your finger in my food, I wouldn't eat it. You don't remember that?
Well, that was, I was Mike, I feel more.
Oh, all right.
I mean, I did bad shit, but I think Mike used to like touching your food so you wouldn't eat it.
I know. Oh, God. And you guys like peanut butter. I hated peanut butter.
Yeah, you had a problem with peanut butter. Yeah. So did Dad.
Oh, he did? Okay.
Yeah, but you couldn't eat peanut butter, yeah.
Yeah, poor Dad was dyslexic too, though.
I think Dad was undiagnosed dyslexic.
He said it to me when I told him. He's like, you know what, man? He's like, I used to see you with your mom, and I was like that too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he said that to me.
Oh, Dad probably had this. But Dad had so much shit in his life.
Yeah, no,
he was fucking
even,
physically abused, sexually abused. The poor bastard. I'd say he'd look at you saying, I'd love if that was my only problem when
I was a kid. I know. That's
poor
all
fuck.
Good.
I mean, what a survivor.
Jesus,
that,
man. I know.
What a
survivor.
That guy
I look
was.
For him inspiration.
What?
Dad's an inspiration for me, you know, in a lot of ways.
But again, he had a great face.
Exactly.
You know, I guess exactly. If you got a good face, you can get away with a lot of shit.
I know. Thank God, man. I know.
Yeah. Lucky you. You were born a white man with a good face. You know, if you
chisel features.
Yeah. If you were a black kid, like in fairness, this is actually a true point. If you were a black kid from a tough neighborhood and you were struggling like you were with dyslexia undiagnosed, no chance.
Well, you never know. You could be also would have been public school.
Well, public school might have just diagnosed it.
No, I know. I know. No, I'm sure. But, yeah, unfortunately, mom just wasn't a great
mother.
She wasn't great, man.
She had a lot of anxiety.
One day
I'm going to do a podcast with mom, but she had a lot of anxiety. More, honestly.
You're going to have to get left back. I'm taking you to public school. She's trying to take me to public school.
I've lived in a lot of other people's houses in my life more than the average person. And now that I'm an adult, a lot of my friends have children. So I have seen a lot of other lives. And I have to say, the level of anxiety was unnecessary.
Yeah, of course. But, yeah,
you know, whatever. There are reasons for everybody. Everybody has their reasons. But I do think that your dyslexia, we were given doses of mom's anxiety for different reasons, some more self-inflicted than others, but your dyslexia definitely brought a lot of mom's anxiety your way, which was unfortunate. I mean, honestly, I probably ended up in Ireland due to mom's anxiety, yeah. Even though me being in Ireland was kind of my idea, you know, like in that I put the idea in her head. The fact that, like, essentially I failed four subjects in St. Francis Prep.
Yeah.
That was it. Okay, I got caught drinking twice that summer. But I mean, it was just, I was like slightly wayward teenager.Othing too insane.
I know, you just failed a few subjects. I
failed four subjects in St. Francis Prep. God. If you fail more than two, you get kicked out, right? But of course, the fucking chaos, you know, the anxiety, it seemed like it was a lot bigger deal than it was. So when the solution came about to go to Ireland, now I wanted to go because I had all that other shit going on with fucking Guinness.
Yeah, I know, man. And, I remember that. I remember that.
But so I was happy to leave. But at the same time, I do think that the stress surrounding it was way more than it needed to be. And perhaps it wouldn't have felt like it needed as much of a solution as going to another country.
I know,
if
Jesus.
Everybody had just remained calm. Now, I don't regret it because, you know, it's been a great life, but the anxiety manifested itself, and we've all been victims of the anxiety. You know, for you it was those.
I know, but I look at it now and I think, yeah, mom. Like, if you put it in a context that she had an anxiety disorder, you're like, she has a disorder. Like,
oh yeah, definitely. But that was not a term.
You know, you think, yeah, something
that
happened,
was not a term that was bandied about.
Yeah, of course, children of an alcoholic, the trauma of that. Like, really, her parents are bad alcoholics. Her brain, when she was young or whatever, something happened.
Yeah, yeah.
There's some trauma there. You know, so you look at the way you know, if you look at it from a science perspective, you can understand it a little bit more.
Yeah, it's complete. Well, also, it's completely understandable now because I don't care. Like, in the sense that I like, it's fun to talk about it and joke about it with a kind of a better understanding of it.
Ten years ago, it
wasn't that way. 10 years ago, I was very resentful.
Yeah, I know. I know.
But, you know, not as much now, particularly in the last few years where you can just, the word anxiety disorder gets bandied about a lot more. Like,
yeah,
even
of
Bella,
course.
Our little cousin, she's 15, but she talks about anxiety. Like, in a very healthy way. Like, I just don't remember being aware of, like, the fact that we were living with way too much anxiety.
Yeah.
The language didn't exist. Do you know what I mean?
Of course. You know, and we've only been talking, now, yeah, we're talking like that with mom a little bit more now, and helps me understand a little bit. But now I'm thinking about it, I think about my own anxiety in my own life, you know, especially the anxiety from, you know, fear of the future. And the fear of, like, me being a failure in life was huge when I was growing up, you know?
What do you mean, grow, like?
Like, you know, just, what am I going to do with my life, you know? And I guess mom had that fear as well, and she put it on me, you know what I mean?
But that's more recent, though.
Yeah, I know. I don't know, man.
You don't want to talk about that.
No.
I don't think you've worked through that just yet.
No, I was just thinking about that. I'm trying to process this now.
Shut up.
I'm processing this shit now.
I don't want to talk about anything you haven't worked out for yourself yet.
Jesus. No, I'm all
right. No, it's fine. I'm only kidding. But, yeah, so, I mean, that's that. I mean, I guess...
it's good, you know, and...
I mean, listen. This is much better. I mean, honestly, for the listener, the first time me and Aiden tried to do this, it was very difficult. There was... The joke of it is that there was technical difficulties on the podcast. But I went to listen to the podcast to see if I could salvage something out of it because we couldn't get a jack.
No, I know.
We couldn't get it going. But I think that was... Look, I think I was...
No, but what happened was literally doing more research from that last podcast put me in a better place. Like, I don't know.
No, but just to talk about what happened. I think part of why that chat wasn't great was a little bit my fault. I mean, I think you were very nervous and unsure of how to talk to me on the podcast because it's not a normal relationship because we know each other our whole lives. But in your defense, when I thought back, I realized I was asking you questions that I knew the answer to. And it is weird to tell somebody, so it's weird for you to tell me about your childhood when you know I bloody know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I know.
It was my fault, actually. It was my fault because I shouldn't have tried to get you to talk about shit that you knew or that I knew. You know what I mean? That was just
no,
weird.
That was great. I mean, it's great to talk to you about the dyslexia stuff, though. It is good.
No, that's good because I didn't know about that, and I was curious
because you left. I was in fourth grade when you went to Ireland, and you weren't around the school. You come home in the summers, you know. So you weren't around
You were in fourth grade.
Yeah, when you went the first. Oh no, fifth
grade.
Fifth grade.
You were starting fifth grade.
That's right. So you were there for fourth grade. Yeah.
Yeah, you were starting fifth grade when.
Yeah,
I
that's right. Yeah.
It's pretty crazy to think about that now, right? That. When I was 14, like younger than Bella is now, even though she is actually in the States temporarily. But do you remember going to the airport that day?
I do. I do remember it. And I remember who was with us, too.
Emily Boodle.
Yeah.
My first love.
No, I know. God, I know.
Who's still friends with me. We're friends on Facebook.
I know.
But it's a crazy thing. August, the night of August 25th, 1990. I arrived on August 26th. Next day.
Yeah.
But we didn't know what the fuck we were doing.
I don't know, yeah. I just remember you were so much older than me. You were like ancient.
Yeah,
know?
I know. It was only four, five grades. Five grades, yeah.
But yeah, I felt like you were like so much older than me. Because you were like so much more, I don't know, man. You were just so confident and you were super smart. You were super together already, even at 14.
But I wasn't.
I know. That's
I was a
thing.
Mess.
I was all
in your brain.
Yeah, I know. You're just my older brother.
I fell
out
with two different groups. I got excluded by two different groups of people.
I know.
You know, just in that particular year. So it's funny. Perception is not reality.
Yeah, I know. But yeah, God. Bullying, though. I mean, you can talk about that, too.
No,
but geez.
I've talked about that a few times already. I'm actually going to do a bullying episode.
Yeah.
Because I have some stuff from Chris Gethard that I haven't used yet from earlier in our chat. And I want to talk to a couple of people and do like a bullying episode.
I think that's a good idea.
So we won't talk about that now. Yeah, anyway. Well, that's it. Any relationships? I'm only kidding.
No comments.
I don't ask people about that.
No comments.
You're not married. You're 36. You're not married. You're nearly 37.
It's great.
You feel any pressure?
I don't know. I was, but not anymore.
Really? It passed?
It's too much fun. It's only getting easier.
Ladies, any interest in Aiden? His Snapchat is what?
Aiden Bishop 22.
Aiden Bishop 22.
Yeah, I got to think of a better.
Aiden Bishop 22 on Snapchat. At Aido Bishop on Twitter.
And then Aiden Bishop on Facebook.
Aiden Bishop on Facebook or the International Comedy Club.
Yeah, the International Comedy Club has a
Facebook. And you should always go to the International, the sort of epicenter of Irish comedy. I'll talk to you later.
All right.
Thank you, Aiden.
Wait, let me give you a hug. No, I'm just kidding.
So, thank you very much to Aiden for his honesty, talking about his struggles with dyslexia. And both of our honesty talking about our mother, who I hope doesn't listen to this. Although I think it should be okay. Relatively honest there. What else can I say? Well, thank you, the listener, and thank you for your patience in waiting 2 weeks for another podcast. I'll try to get it together. You see, I'm writing. I'm doing a lot of crap at the moment. So anyway, you can see Aiden in the International or on tour with me this weekend. I am in Castle Blaney and in Burr, or no, in Ballymun actually on Saturday. So some Dublin people who couldn't get tickets to other venues, there's some tickets left for Ballymun this Saturday, and Blanchestown is sold out and Newbridge is sold out. So if anybody out there is looking in the general sort of 1 hour drive from Dublin area and you're looking for a place to go, Ballymun has tickets on Saturday. The following week, Burr County Offaly has some tickets if you want to go to that one. And check out desbishop.net for dates. New show in January, One Day You'll Understand, which I'm also writing at the moment. And then get ready for my new TV show coming out in December. called This Is Ireland, which is just a kind of a Daily Show, John Oliver type thing, talking about Irish and world current affairs. So, no idea who my next guest is going to be. I do plan to have David O'Doherty on at some stage. I do plan to have Tommy Tiernan on at some stage, both of which have said that they will do it. Louise O'Neill on at some stage. She will probably be our first non-stand-up comedian. So she has expressed an interest on being on the podcast. Aisling Franciosi, perhaps, wants to be on the podcast from the fall. So we got a good bunch of people that we're going to have coming up. So stay tuned for that. And yeah, I'll chat to you guys soon. Miss you all. And don't forget feedback. Snapchat Des Buffer. Instagram Des Bishop. Twitter Des Bishop. Facebook.com/Des Bishop. And we love the feedback. Give us a few 5-star reviews on iTunes. Get us back up in the charts. Of course, I've been super lazy, so we've slipped down like Tiger Woods in the charts, but no big deal. And we'll chat to you soon. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.